You tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
I'll be darned too. What the heck is going on around here? I'm all you alone. Whoa. I don't understand. Yeah. That's all right. Yeah. Little girl, get me a hold out. Pachinko.
Thank you.
And welcome to the Sun Cinema Podcast, a weekly radio show that examines the highs and lows of the medium of film through the filtered lens of Washington, D.C.'s only privately owned art house cinema. I'm your host, Jason Cauley, and I'm joined by my co-hosts and the proprietors of Sun Cinema, David Cabrera and Ryan Hunter Mitchell. Gentlemen.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, Jason.
Hey.
It's good to see you here.
Good to be back. Good to be back.
Yeah.
That was actual Jason, for those of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jack, I'm sure you're going to listen to this. And yeah. We got the real Jason because we couldn't find the sound clip. We also have a special guest today.
That's right.
Friend of Sun Cinema, friend of the pod, Brendan Gertz.
Howdy.
Yeah. We're going to get to some like deep cinematic issues later today.
We're gonna get into deep Sonic lore.
Yeah, we're gonna get into the lore of Sonic the Hedgehog and the General Mills cinematic universe. But first, let's talk about last weekend. What we had some good movies.
We showed. Yeah.
I mean, if you like Nicolas Cage.
If you like Nicolas Cage, which if you don't, I don't know.
You probably do.
I don't know what to tell you.
So that song we just listened to was from a pachinko commercial with Nicolas Cage?
A pachinko commercial.
What
There's
is that?
Tons of them. It's Japanese. It's basically Japanese pinball.
Okay.
Of course.
Of course it is.
It sounds familiar.
Sounds like something Nicolas Cage would be on a commercial for.
So we had some good ones on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving.
Yes. We gave thanks, and then we watched The Rock.
How was it?
It was great.
I haven't watched it in a while.
It's just thoroughly entertaining. It does not stop. I mean, it's kind of goofy. It takes itself very seriously. I would say much more so than Con Air. Con Air kind of leans into the goof a little bit more, right?
Trying to be funnier. I think that's
it's
fair.
Michael Bay, though.
Both are Michael Bay, right?
No, Con Air isn't.
It's not?
Con Air is discount Michael Bay.
What does that mean?
A.K.A. Simon West.
Simon West, right, yeah.
Oh, I thought it said from the director of...
No, because I think Bruckheimer produced both.
From the producer of... Okay. Because when we showed the trailers for both, we showed The Rock and then Con Air. And so on the Con Air one, it's like, from the producer of The Rock, right after The Rock trailer.
Nice.
it doesn't let up. It's really fun. Also, you know... It was in the Criterion Collection once upon a time. So what does that say?
It must be good.
We must respect it.
What, The Rock?
The Rock was in the Criterion Collection.
Was it really?
I think Armageddon was.
Yeah. Oh, man.
RoboCop also, but that...
That makes more sense
because it has like a hard-hitting social commentary and...
Yeah.
Has some layers. But there might be some layers to unpack in
Michael
Rock.
Bay has a lot of money.
Yeah. Michael Bay has an endless account at Explosions R Us.
Yeah.
So I watched Con Air the next day. And I think in that room when they were thinking, like, what are we going to put in this movie? They didn't say no to anything. Like, if you remember the crash land... Sorry, spoiler for everyone. If they crash land the jet on the Vegas Strip... Because they can't make it to the landing pad, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
So they just crash it down into the strip, tear up Hard Rock, RIP, and just rip up the strip. And then the plane crashes right into a slot machine that hits all sevens and just spews out coins. Like, man, they just like, no, let's have it crash on the strip and into a casino, and then it hits all sevens. Like, sure, let's
make
do
that
it.
Happen.
I think they use the same logic for the car chase in The Rock,
okay.
Where Sean Connery gets into a Hummer, right, and then Nicolas
He's
Cage gets into
the guy
a,
from League of Extraordinary Gentlemen,
right?
Yeah,
Sean Connery of that fame.
Sir Sean Connery.
Sir Sean Connery, Nicolas Cage are in a car chase, and there's a scene where, like, Sean Connery has to avoid hitting a woman in a, like, who's, you know, got a stroller trying to get across the street, and so then he smacks into a trolley, and then the trolley goes all haywire, and then the trolley literally, like, smacks into some cars and then just blows up and just kind of like floats up into the air,
yeah,
and
right,
comes back down. And you're like, oh, that's what would happen. But also Nicolas Cage, in order to avoid that or something else, definitely hit some coins on a...
Oh, yeah, great.
Yeah, so...
So it's probably the Bruckheimer influence.
That's
in
Bruckheimer.
There.
He has a thing with coins.
So...
All that to say.
Having not seen The Rock in a while, I remember, and I... Tell me if this is true. It holds up as like a heist movie. It's like a kind of tight heist.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's good,
yeah,
in that
it's
way.
Been a minute for me too, but I do remember that element like actually being okay.
It's thoroughly entertaining. Like it's the kind of movie that you would, you know, it does hold up, but it doesn't also. It's kind of goofy. But it's so entertaining and so moving so fast that it's hard to make fun of because you're just like so sucked into it. And then outside of the like tight action scenes, you cut to like Nicolas Cage and it's just like his parts of talking or whatever. And then you're just like, okay, I want to know what this is about. Everyone's just always tuned in.
Well, here, let's find some great Nicolas Cage. The Rocket Man, that's a little here. Here's some classic Cage from The Rock, which I always thought was good.
Listen, I'm just a biochemist. Most of the time, I work in a glass jar and lead a very uneventful life. I drive a Volvo, Vajorn. But what I'm dealing with here is one of the most deadly substances the Earth has ever known. So what do you say you cut me some friggin' slack?
That's for giving Sir Sean Connery what for.
I think he's also pretty subdued in this movie compared to some of the other ones. Like, he does have his, like, freakouts, you know, which he's
right,
notorious for, which if you've been on the internet, you know that there are compilations upon compilations of Nicolas Cage wilding out.
The internet is built on Nicolas Cage freakout videos.
It's just cats and Nicolas Cage freakouts. Well, this was like, I guess, the straight man cracking. They're trying to like prod him a little bit. He's obsessed with the Beatles records and stuff. Yeah, he's got these little tics that you know are going to like just rampage out.
Yeah.
For instance, when he...
Do you like the Elton John song Rocket Man?
I don't like soft ass shit.
Oh, you know.
Well, he's being clever here.
It's you. You're the Rocket Man.
He literally fires a rocket.
I was gonna say, for those of you not watching at home, that's where Nicolas Cage sends a rocket through someone.
So, are those the rockets that have deadly, or has he taken the deadly stuff out?
He took out the deadly stuff. The sarin gas, right? Sarin?
Okay.
Is it sarin?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember?
Yeah.
It's why we bombed that airstrip in Syria that had no one
on
it.
That's cool. Late note.
I don't think anyone was there. I think it was like a proxy. Let's go into Con Air. Well,
let's break
that
down first.
Do you guys have... before we talk about the civil war in Syria, let's talk about Steve Buscemi in Con Air, because I loved Con Air, and it definitely it's so over the top, but it seems in on it a little bit, and it's got a great cast. They both have great casts.
Most murders are crimes of necessity rather than desire, but the great ones, Dahmer, Gacy, Bundy, they did it because it excited them.
Don't you? I got nothing in common with them, with you. Don't you talk to me? They were insane.
Now you're talking semantics. What if I told you insane was working 50 hours a week in some office for 50 years, at the end of which they tell you to piss off, ending up in some retirement village, hoping to die before suffering the indignity of trying to make it to the toilet on time? Wouldn't you consider that to be insane?
Folks, heavy. We live in a society.
Yeah.
I forget to inform you, we live in a society.
Yeah, that is like the most like Tyler Durden's Notebook
right
thing in the world. So This is why.
You laugh because I'm different. I laugh because you're all the same.
Likes, hot topic. So let's pit them. Let's try to do pros and cons of Con Air versus The Rock. The Rock, let's go through the cast. It's pretty good.
It's pretty strong.
Sir Sean Connery. Ed Harris.
Ed Harris. William Forsythe.
Damn. Okay.
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage. Cape? Cage? Yeah, I don't know who else in it. You just watch it.
Guy that plays Candyman.
Yeah.
He's in it. He's the one that gets the rocket.
Oh, yeah.
And then the guy who plays Jodie Foster's dad in Contact, but also probably other things. That's the only one that I can think of where he's at the end and she's in this weird
David
space
Morse.
Realm, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, it's David Morse.
Okay. Boom. Jason's back.
There he is. What year?
What year what?
Exactly. it's a quiz.
The encyclopedia. It's
like, Con Air. I'm going to go through this little known cast here. You got Nick Cage.
I think the cast is
John Malkovich
on that one.
Steve Buscemi, John Cusack in a not convincing role,
right?
Which is pretty good. Ving Rhames is great.
Ving Rhames is in that.
Danny Trejo, Dave Chappelle. I mean, just keep.
Yeah, this one clearly. I think it has the superior cast. Let's be real.
Yeah. And, like, I think just on the points that it's a little less serious, and it's still action-packed and kind of clever, doesn't have a dry moment. There's not someone exploding or firing a gun inside a plane for more than, like, 4 minutes at a time. Like,
yeah.
Do you get a break from that? So, I'm giving it to Con Air. Obviously,
I really enjoyed The Rock.
Did you?
Yeah. I haven't seen The Rock.
I haven't seen it in so long.
By default, I got to give it to Con Air.
Jason, I need it.
Oh, man.
I think having not seen
them. I was just thoroughly entertained. I was like, I can't stop watching this. It's so good. And I get why it's in the criterion.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, like going back, I just gave like Con Air like this horrible rating on IMDb. So I feel like The Rock's probably just for me a better movie.
Do you do IMDb ratings?
Yeah, I just do it all the time, just so I can
be done with it. Wait, how have we never...
How have we not used that as a resource?
No, I don't know.
So we could find your reviews?
No. Okay. I'm saying my personal stuff, just so I can keep it like logged and see what I've seen and kind of thing.
That is cool, though.
Yeah.
So that's not something that we have access to.
No.
I do Letterboxd, but mostly just so I can see those one-cent reviews that are like... Nicolas Cage can get it.
Right.
What is, like, have you made a Nicolas Cage list?
Can get it. What's up?
Can get it. I saw your list. You made a body horror list, right? Or a horror list. From October?
Yeah.
On Letterboxd? You watched like a lot of horror movies.
Yeah, it's this thing, 31 Days or Pooptober. Depending on where you're doing it, it's got a different name.
You said Pooptober?
Hooptober.
Okay, got it.
What's Hooptober?
Basically the same thing as like the 31 Days thing, but there's more arbitrary constraints. Like, watch a movie about a flying menace. Watch a movie about inanimate objects.
Oh.
Those are like the different days or the whole month you have to watch flying menaces?
Not each the day whole has month. A different like, you have to pick one film on there. With a flying man, and with an inanimate object.
So there's like 31 specific requirements, right?
Not 31, okay. But there's a couple in there.
Yeah. But you watched a lot of cool horror.
Explain what 31 Days is, Hooptober. Back up. You take this prompt and you try to fulfill a certain amount of watching of movies over a month.
One horror movie. The idea is one horror movie a day for the whole month, but I started kind of early, so
nice.
I just watched a lot of shit. Sometimes literally a lot of shit.
How many films did you log in the 31 days?
Like 50.
Okay. So you're a little overachiever.
Do you ever feel like you're Sisyphus and that you'll never actually stop watching the movies? Huh?
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
Are you just like, done? All right, done with movies. Let's move on. Finished them.
You joke, but I've kind of been like that lately.
Does it hurt that there's not like good things coming out?
There's good things coming out. You just...
Okay, let's listen to one more Nicolas Cage pachinko ad, and then let's dive into the films of Brandon and the interests of Brandon. But first, let's pachinko.
I'm Nicolas Cage, and this is a song for you. My favorite things, my favorite things. Blue jeans, see a red-haired girl. Sweet peanut butter, a slow-burning candle. Cup of tea and a good book. The Dance of the Reindeer, and also pachinko. Yeah, pachinko. Pachinko was so cute.
I mean, that's pretty cool, actually.
That was beautiful.
There's so many of them.
Jeez.
You can get lost in a pachinko hole.
When you run out of movies, you just start going down the pachinko hole.
Just find Western actors doing Japanese commercials.
Yeah. They should make a movie about that. Never mind.
Lost in
Translation. They should... They should make a movie about that commercial where Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think it's a coffee commercial where Arnold Schwarzenegger turns into a terrifying Superman.
What?
After he drinks the coffee.
We're going to do a night of these, of Western actors in odd commercials. You're going to curate this at Sun's. So let's really introduce our guest today. Our guest, Brandon, he likes chicken rings, Japanese culture, anime, Hero Factory, Bionicle, Sonic the Hedgehog, Pepperoni Pizza, his shot saber, garlic rolls, acting crazy, drawing, typing stories, video games, comic books, Wizard 101. Okay, I'm gonna...
This is...
What do you do?
I'm an artist, and yeah. My dislikes are... Give me a second.
It's gonna be so confusing for people listening.
My yeah. dislikes are... Still working on it.
Waiting on it.
What are your dislikes?
My dislikes are iCarly, drugs, legal or not.
What?
Alcohol. People being evilized.
Oh, you
people
remember
who call me a nerd.
You remember him pretty well, actually.
What is this?
So we were
into what we're
all right. In case you're not caught up to date with pop culture. You could type in anyone's name and find hedgehogs, like Ryan the Hedgehog, David the Hedgehog, Jason the Hedgehog, Brandon the Hedgehog, and people do like
profiles.
Shitty MS Paint drawings of the... not all shitty. Some of them are way overly thought out.
So we were just use Sonic templates.
We were just reading the Brandon the Hedgehog
from Wikipedia,
stats, right?
Not from Wikipedia,
okay.
From...
That would be a little too...
Sonic
Ninjutsu, Sentai Toku...
Soldier.
Perfect.
Which appears to be a fictional video game.
Dislikes, fruits and
which
vegetables.
Does not exist.
Being dislikes, annoyed or ignored. Chores, losing. Drugs, legal or otherwise. Alcoholic beverages. Ryan Stark grabbing his neck too much. Having to sing. Being told what to do. Being called a nerd. Incompetence. Sports shows. Award shows. The news. iCarly.
But somehow sick. Homestar Runner is in the likes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so we were wondering, like, what's up with this guy, with Brandon the Hedgehog now? Follow up. We'll do that next week. We'll find the real Brandon the Hedgehog. So, Brandon, as you say, you watched like 50 horror movies in October. You have gone through the pachinko commercials. You come to Suns a lot. You watch a lot of movies. Now you've crossed Con Air off the list. But you have quite a broad, deep dive kind of film that you like. I mean, what is there a certain marker that you're holding up? Like, I like these kind of movies.
David Lynch.
Okay, it's all David Lynch.
Well, not all David Lynch, but David Lynch, body horror...
What shit. What started this? What started the interest in weird shit cinema?
I don't know. I think I watched Eraserhead when I was in college. And was that the beginning? That was the beginning. Nice. It's like, I think I like weird film now.
Yeah.
That's a good place
and
to start.
Before that, I was just into the superhero thing. Like, Marvel wasn't a big thing yet, so it was all The Dark Knight.
Cool.
Talking about living in a society.
Yeah.
So you went from Pixar movies to David Lynch. I'm just kidding.
To Cronenberg.
Oh, cool. Got into any of the heavier stuff?
The heavier
stuff? Cronenberg is the heavy stuff, right? I would say.
It's pretty heavy stuff.
So you use, I mean, body horror is a motif that you utilize in your art, right?
Yeah.
Pretty often.
It's something that I think, like, as someone who paints the figure, is kind of a good guidepost, like a good guidepost to what I'm trying to do with my art. Like, I'm trying to create this sort of empathy with the viewer, with looking at kind of like, kind of lost my train of thought, but
Cronenberg. No. So you're saying by showing body horror, that's a way of like creating a sympathy or an empathy that you're sharing with the viewer of your art?
That's the idea. I mean, I can't really say how it translates,
sure.
But something I kind of thought about, like when watching horror films, like this sort of empathy, those kind of instill the viewer, not necessarily like you feel for the characters, but you kind of like you kind of feel like some of the, like the reactions and
the fear
horror
maybe
stuff
the pain.
In your body.
Yeah. Do you think Cronenberg was also just trying to get us to empathize with each other? Like that's what he's doing too, or is he trying to scare the hell out of us?
Or both.
I think I've read somewhere like he kind of thinks of body horror as this sort of thing where the body and the person in the body kind of get into an argument or kind of separate. So I think he's interested in that sort of dichotomy of the mind and the body.
As being like two separate things that
might be
antagonizing each other?
Not necessarily antagonizing each other, but that react to each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So David Lynch, Cronenberg, anyone else that helped you dive into the weird horror?
Anyone else for the deep dive? Argento?
Sure. Should we talk about the new...
I mean, should we? Can you give us...
This has been a discussion...
Has anyone seen the new Suspiria
other than Brandon?
I have not. No.
Jason,
not.
Nothing?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
All right, so we've riffed...
It got ripped out of the theaters pretty quickly.
It did. It wasn't. It's only been playing in Baltimore for weeks.
Yeah, and it was kind of a planned thing apparently, with I guess streaming, and they're gonna kind of re-release and
okay
this whole thing. So,
so they planned for no one to watch it. That's smart. Okay, yeah, that's
yeah, exactly.
But Brandon did watch it, and this became an argument almost last night, but. You and one other friend that I know that have seen it have said, like, if you don't think about...
very highly of it, and we openly trashed it on this show, but to be fair, have not seen it.
Yeah.
No.
I can't really say how you'll react when you see it, but I think it's solid. It doesn't really pull from, like, the iconography of the original.
Yeah.
But I think it kind of pulls from... Fassbender is the big one I keep hearing comparisons to.
Oh, okay.
The German director, Michael Fassbender.
The German actor.
Yeah, like
in
the
what
color
way?
Palette is straight up Fassbender. And I think...
The like subtler...
Yeah, it's not as...
Muted tones.
The director of the new one, Luca Guadagnino... I can't say his name.
Guadagnino. Guadagnino, something.
Guadagnino.
That's hard to pronounce.
Anyway.
I'm not even going to try.
he kind of had this idea of like setting it in Berlin as it was in 1977, like kind of playing with like some of the history of that time, like the leftist, like the leftist groups.
Huh. Of what time?
The link, 1977.
Okay.
Like these, this lingering guilt over the Holocaust.
Oh.
It's not for everyone.
Was the original one in Italy, right? Or no, where was the original
one? No, it was in
one?
Germany.
It was in Germany, also? Germany, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not a Germany that ever existed.
Sure.
And everything looks like just primary color throw up.
Yeah. That's like the best part. You're talking about the original.
Yeah.
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 I mean, that stuff's great.
Yeah, yeah.
No, no. I think I've met a couple people who went to witch ballet academies in Germany that were brightly colored. I think that's a thing.
I think, yeah, that's historically accurate.
It's a formative experience.
Okay, so let's fast forward to things that you're saying some good things are coming out now. Robin Hood? Any interest?
Is there a new Robin Hood coming out?
There's a new one.
There
is.
What is it?
The biggest bomb of the year.
Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx is a Robin Hood?
No.
No.
I was going to say, that's kind of cool.
He's not Robin Hood. That would be kind of cooler.
No, Jamie Foxx is Friar Tuck.
Oh, cool.
And Little John.
Wait, and both?
He's yeah. Both?
He plays two characters? He's pulling a Tilda.
He's pulling a Tilda.
Whoa.
It's just the two characters are merged.
Okay.
For reasons.
What? Wait. It's one person?
It's one person who's
he's not just playing
Robin
two
Hood.
Different characters. He's playing one morphed character of Little John and Friar Tuck.
It's like Two-Face.
Well, he takes on characteristics of both.
Oh.
Not split down the middle in makeup and such.
He's not Two-Face.
No.
We're really helping everyone understand what this movie could possibly be.
Robin Hood is the new hotness. They have machine... They have bows that are also machine guns.
Wait, this is... We're not... You guys aren't making this up right
now.
No. No, it's a real thing. Like Robin Hood 2018. It's...
It's still set in...
Taron Egerton
in medieval times.
Plays Robin.
Is this like a Rodriguez movie? Like what? Who's the director?
Guy Ritchie.
Guy Ritchie.
Otto Bathurst.
Oh, I don't even...
You know.
That sounds like a...
Yeah, you know car. His, you know his work. Yeah, the new Robin Hood. I don't know why they ever tried remaking any since the...
Men in Tights?
No, since the animated Robin Hood.
It's public domain.
Wait.
What?
The animated one is?
No,
no
Robin Hood
the Robin Hood story.
Domain.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And so it's King Arthur and the Nutcracker, and that's why you see every, like,
this
5 years.
This is already in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I think it's already out, or is it still in? So Robin Hood, were they trying to make a cinematic universe between Robin Hood, Arthur, I don't know, Lady of Shalott?
Sheriff.
Are they trying to do this?
They probably were at this point.
And then it tanked?
Of course it tanked.
Man, if Star Wars can't make it out of doing too many movies, like everyone should learn. Like, quit the cinematic universe. Just realize movies are over. Shrink it down to about row house size and serve drinks, and you might stand a chance. But no one's going to go see movies anymore.
Dump it on Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. You know, pull a Coen Brothers, dump it on Netflix.
Has everyone here seen that, except for me?
I've seen it, yeah.
Well, the Coen Brothers thing is actually a movie that became a miniseries that became a movie again.
Right.
Yeah. Which explains why the pacing is... the way it is.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a movie I would have liked in theaters, maybe. I mean, I think I would have liked parts of it, because it's...
Yeah, I don't know. I just found the whole thing very depressing.
Yeah, okay. I really like
that
it.
That part doesn't shock me, though.
Yeah, it's...
Often that's the case with their stuff.
But they find a way to...
Oh, it's very smart. It's, you know, it's the Coens. It's very inventive and all the things it should be. I just felt like the overriding theme of just like the Old West is death, you know,
uh-huh.
And it's coming for you. is pretty hard stamped on there. Yeah.
But I did think it was like one of the best uses of the medium of Netflix, actually, because it felt like something you didn't need to watch in a solid block. You could watch it night after night, kind of the way that you can binge or something on Netflix shows. It was some space in between. It's about 2.5 hours, but it feels kind of like a series, a mini series.
Right. And no, it's definitely like very disconnected stories. You know, they're just stories of the Old West.
And it works for the Netflix world. So this, either it was just something sloppy they couldn't put together and make a quality feature out of, or they shaped it in such a way that it works really well for this medium, I thought. Like, it seemed like a good use of the online format.
Like I said, it was literally almost a mini-series. So, anthology films are extremely my shit. So, like, I got one more on the pile.
Yeah, it was a good one. Let's crawl into the upcoming cinematic universe of General Mills. What can you tell us about it?
The Count Chocula cinematic universe.
The Count Chocula cinematic universe. So I first heard about this from you, and I didn't think it was real, but then Jason says the Post just wrote it up.
The Post just wrote a pretty good-sized article about it. Like
General
six,
Mills
five
wants
writers.
Movie pitches for its cereal monster mascots, and we have several ideas.
Yeah. It's honestly one of the smarter versions of these, because it's just them going to indie filmmakers and being like, hey, can you make a movie about this?
About this cereal character from the 70s.
And that's it.
I also didn't realize that those cereals were around in the 70s, because like Count Chocula was... I mean, is that still around, probably?
Yeah. Count Chocula, Frankenberry, Boo Berry are all still around.
Nice.
Yeah,
and they're about to really be around.
Yeah. Frankenberry.
Frankenberry.
These are things that...
Rest
like,
in pieces, Fruity Mummy.
Oh, Fruity Mummy's gone?
Fruity Mummy plays it. Brute Fruit is also gone.
Brute Fruit?
Oh, yeah. I do remember Brute Fruit.
That sounds like
or
a
fruit
weird...
Brute.
Fruit Brute. Yeah, yeah, Fruit Brute.
What was Fruit Brute?
Oh, I just know
he's a wolf.
Okay.
He's also...
But what kind of cereal was it?
Sugary.
Sugary, yeah. I love that they used to just... Like, there was, like, Sugar Smacks.
Yeah,
was, like, the name.
Sugar Smacks before it became Honey Smacks.
Yeah.
Right.
Just like, this is a cereal that has sugar in it. Kids are like, yes.
It was also...
I will eat that.
Quiet! Fruit! Fruit! I eat Fruit Brute with my fruit-flavored cereal, Fruit Brute. Part of your nutritious breakfast.
Fruit on you!
But delicious Fruit Brute has fruit-flavored marshmallows for the holy good taste.
I'm already sold. Yeah. I'm already way more about this than I am about the DC Cinematic Universe. So...
I mean, it's smarter than doing, like, ambitious five-year plans without being like, hey, maybe don't get, like, the Edgelord who did 300 to do it.
Here from the dog out in the lobby.
A dog in the lobby agreed with that.
Yeah, and they're probably not going to shell out too much money, and they'll just kind of see what happens with them. They'll probably make their money back. Or they won't. What have we come to?
It just rules that the serial monster cinematic universe is going to be more successful than the actual Universal Monster cinematic universe.
The Mummy.
Yeah, did anyone see the Tom Cruise one?
No, it's out
I
there.
Saw it.
Did you see it?
It's thoroughly bad.
Yeah, it looked like it would be hard to watch.
I mean, and I'll bite on some Tom Cruise movies.
Oh, I will too. I mean, yeah. That, not that.
I love the Brendan Fraser ones. One, two, however many they made with Brendan Fraser, so much. I can't dishonor him by watching the Tom Cruise one.
So
it's okay because no one did.
So in this Post article, they have suggestions for different characters. I think, should we talk about if we agree with them or not? Or
yeah.
For Count Chocula, they have Adrian Brody.
I think
that makes sense. If you've seen Count Chocula, he has like a long, tall, skinny face, and that's Adrian Brody. Right?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
It's a fair choice.
Fair choice. I want to eat your cereal. That's in the article.
Yeah, are they going to Are they going to still theme it around cereal, or do you think they'll kind of like take it away from the cereal?
That's a good question. That is a good question. I want to see a cinematic universe where they know the cereal, where the monsters know the cereal exists.
But it's just a job. Like, it's just a side hustle for them.
It's a side hustle.
Okay.
Or it's someone using their likeness without their permission.
All right.
Oh,
that's kind of cool.
It's a twist.
All right.
Frankenberry needs to be played by Dan DeVito.
Oh, damn. That's okay. So they say Tracy Morgan on here, but...
Voicing Frankenberry, yeah.
Voicing Frankenberry.
Oh, these aren't going to be live action?
Oh, are they not live action?
No, I think they're saying...
John Goodman would also be acceptable.
I think they're bouncing back and forth.
Okay. I think those are all good, actually.
All right, who else?
I mean, Danny DeVito. Booberry. What is this? It doesn't really say. Is Bruce Carey?
I don't know. Is Bruce Carey?
I don't understand what this is saying. Let's move on.
All right, Booberry, you're out.
Christian Bale as Fruit Brute.
No.
I do want to see Fruit Brute flipping out on set, just demeaning everyone.
Tom Cruise as Fruity Yummy Mummy. Oh, wait, is that...
As a mummy?
As Fruity Yummy Mummy, yeah.
Gotta keep the continuity going. He becomes the mummy at the end of The Mummy.
Oh, then that's kind of funny.
So he should be the mummy in the cinematic universe that's actually going to go somewhere.
Ice Cube as Toucan Sam.
Huh.
I'm here for that.
I didn't know Toucan Sam's in the same world.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Ice Cube plays Toucan Sam in this heartwarming story about overcoming the odds in the face of great tragedy. The bird addicted to the smell of Fruit Loops crashes into a tree while flying around with his eyes closed. What?
That's kind of cool. Okay.
Sure.
All right.
Cap'n Crunch played by Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
He's retired though.
I know. Steps out of retirement for this.
Oh, P.T. Anderson has to do that one.
P.T. Anderson's Cap'n Crunch.
Oh, damn. Okay. Well, that's pretty good.
With, what's his name? Johnny Appleseed doing the soundtrack.
Yeah.
What is his name again? What's his name?
Johnny Greenwood. Yeah.
Snap, Crackle, Pop. The Jonas Brothers. Okay. Let's move on.
Wait. Oh, they'll play the soundtrack.
Are the Jonas Brothers still alive?
Oh. Ooh. Yeah.
Sick burn.
Better story, Washington Post. Are the Jonas Brothers still alive?
Buzz the Bee. In this Beyoncé jukebox musical, a sullen teenager named Buzz the Bee wakes up in the body belonging to her helicopter parent mom.
Christian Schaal. I mean, they got to use her. Everyone loves her voice. It's going to be Christian Schaal or Alec Baldwin.
What? Dig'em Frog.
Oh, it's from Smacks.
From Honey Smacks. That would be played by Sylvester Stallone. But when a gifted yet unrefined new talent, Michael B. Jordan, shows up, Dig'em Frog discovers he still has a lot of dance in him yet, even if his hips won't let him perform those windmills anymore.
Is that... I didn't follow the frog stories. I did watch Creed, the first one.
So they basically just took Creed and turned it into a frog thing.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I see what you did there. Anyone see Creed 2?
I have
not. No, not yet.
Anyone see Creed 1? It was good.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I liked it.
Different director, so I don't know. You know, not holding out.
I like the idea they're trying to tie in the story of the Russian.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're bringing back Dolph Lundgren.
We get to see Dolph again.
Yeah.
And I think at the end they're going to kind of hint at Michael B. Jordan's roles in the General Mills cinematic universe. So.
The next one is Trix Rabbit, played by Kumail Nanjiani, the dude from...
The Big Sick.
Yeah, Big Sick.
Okay. Dinesh, right, from Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. this is just lost his job, and so Trix Rabbit just lost his job and is trying to put the pieces of his life back together after a messy divorce from Jessica Chastain, who is threatening to move across the country with their child. Everyone in his life thinks Trix is a failure, but as he fights for custody of his son, he realizes that Trix are for kids. That's a good.
But
that's pretty good, actually. Damn, wow. I was wondering where that was going. Like, I was feeling weird reading it out loud.
See, I thought the good social commentary done by a cartoon rabbit was pretty much cornered up by Roger Rabbit. But yeah, this, you know, okay.
And then the last one, Lucky the Leprechaun,
from Lucky Charms.
From Lucky Charms, played by Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Ooh, that would be cool.
Wait, who's the Lucky Charms character? Yeah. That one should be DeVito.
Yeah.
Give Idris Elba something good. Like, here, he could do Tony the Tiger. He could be the Energizer Bunny. Charlie the Tuna from the...
Charlie the Tuna? From the, is that a cereal?
From the Starkist, whatever. Cans of wet tuna.
Charlie the Tuna, your favorite cereal.
I'm still looking forward to the fan fiction cinematic universe. Where they take fan fiction that exists.
You mean Ready Player One?
Oh! Where they just, like, file off, like, all the... Where they just file off all, like, the copyright shit and make a movie about it. They did that with 50 Shades.
Wait, 50 Shades of fanfic?
Yeah, it's a Twilight fanfiction.
Oh! Is that true, actually?
Yeah.
Okay.
And... Whoa. This new movie after that's coming out next year is a One Direction fan fiction.
Whoa, there's literally a One Direction fan fiction movie being made.
Yeah, it's called After.
Whoa.
And Harry Styles is an abusive man in it, but it's about the virtue of abusive relationships.
What?
It's weird garbage, but...
What the hell?
And also, Harry Styles might have a restraining order on the author. But this is a real movie. Look it up.
So there's a lot of good stuff coming out, actually.
I feel like often our shows, when people are listening, they're probably confused as to what is real and not. And I want to say that for a lot of this show, I have felt that way. Trying to figure out what we're talking about that's a real thing. And what we're not.
So. It's probably all real. That's what
it's
sucks.
All real.
Yeah. We live in a society.
Indeed. Gamers rise up.
Gamers rise up. What else are we?
We'll save December for another week. Let's right? Next week we'll talk December. December movies.
Let's do that. Well, next week I won't. Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
We'll talk about it later.
We'll talk about it later. let's talk about living in a society. So explain, there's a new Todd Phillips. Is it who's making the new Joker movie?
Todd Phillips is making the new Joker. Martin Scorsese is producing.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Wait, that's true?
Joaquin Phoenix is going to
so confused today.
Play the Joker character?
Joaquin Phoenix is going to live in a society.
So... There's all these images. As soon as the images came out of Joaquin Phoenix as this Joker character, which is kind of looks interesting. It's a little like a subdued Joker. Immediately, gamers started posting out this image that just says, "We live in a society." And they're trying to get it to be the tagline of the movie, right?
Well, "We live in a society" happened before this.
Yes, but
it
now
was with
they
the
line
Heath
up.
Ledger.
Oh, was that what it was?
Yeah. I think it was either the Heath Ledger one or Jared Leto.
Oscar winner, sure, Jared Leto.
Oscar winner, Jared Leto.
Wait, so that was like people made that, were kind of trolling it by saying we live in a society?
Yeah.
Okay. And
like
now,
they're kind of trolling the over-seriousness of the Joker.
Why so serious?
Or I think it was originally like a like one of those generated meme things with the bottom text cut out.
Okay. Just we live in a society...
Where
cut off, yeah.
And then it's just we live in a society.
Oh man, you're really helping explain all of the like weird film things that I do not get about troll internet. This is so funny. Okay, so we live in a society, cinematic universe of General Mills. What else have we got? What else is just too weird to actually exist, but of course it does now? And besides a Robin Hood that has automatic bow and arrow.
That Lion King that still looks like a cartoon.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy.
I just saw the preview for that this past weekend, yeah.
It's going to make all the money.
Oh, for sure.
It's going to make a damn lot of money. I mean, Lion King's good. Like, sure. I guess just print it, reprint it, put it back out, make
some
more money.
Disney live-action remakes, I don't get, but they... I guess I do kind of get them, because it's like, hey, 90s kids, remember this? Give us your money.
There's a live-action Lion King coming out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so... under a rock.
And they're already folks
with
who...
real lions?
Well, no.
I mean, it's a CGI reimagining. I mean,
I saw Jungle Book. Jungle Book was really bad. And I'm sure it's just
John Favreau again, directing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Is it him?
No.
Yeah.
It is.
Oh. Anyway, it's working because you have all these, like, kids who, like, all these, like, 90s kids who, as they do with every Pixar movie that's a sequel or every Disney remake, they're like, kids, we don't want kids in the theater. Parents, leave them at home. We waited 20 years for this.
Oh, that's great.
Also, Toy Story 4 coming out as well.
You know, they did that for it, too.
3 was already more than you needed.
Yep.
And it was still fine. It was a good place to leave it, but they won't. Are they going to make a live-action / animated live-action CGI version of Swingers? Yeah, it's going to come another Jon Favreau one?
I mean, Toy Story 4 is actually kind of...
it'll be good.
It has, like, at least an interesting idea where it's this toy who was not intended to be a toy. And it was made out of, like... random crafts and stuff.
All right, I'm gonna find one more pachinko commercial, and we're done. Jason, thanks for being here today. Brandon, happy birthday! Thanks for being here.
So, you're twins.
No.
Gamers rise up.
Where's triplets?
Triplets.
Maker Sanko.